Brooklyn, New York. This is Jarring Segue, a podcast invented by you, our listeners. How is that? What is that? Invented by you, our listeners? That's right, because you send in topics and we put them together like a jigsaw puzzle with no picture.
I am. That was the worst. That was just not even close to what we normally do.
I know.
I do like the idea of just getting a lot of random puzzles and mixing them together, but they've all been cut the same.
Uh-huh.
And you just put them together kind of blindly by shape. And
can they all be different over. Types it's of like kittens?
Different kittens merged.
Did you
merged
say kittens?
You pronounce those T's
kittens.
Very well.
Kittens sounds a little bit lazy.
Kittens.
Yeah.
Kittens.
Kittens.
Well, you do know the reason I did that is because this is number 10.
Number 10!
This is number 10. And since Johan cut me off, he didn't let me say that I am Beth Hicks.
Mm-hmm. I am Scott Austin.
I'm Johan Karabi.
The judgmental one over here who doesn't allow me to ever change things up at all.
She's pointing at Johan.
Yes.
Annie.
Not Scott. At Johan. The thumb
Scott
is...
Scott never judges anybody.
No. And since
I don't.
You don't. It's since it's number 10... I got us a little bit of a
what did you get?
Treat.
What did you get, Beth?
Well, let's see. I'm going to try to open this on. Everybody protect the eyes, protect the glasses.
Protective armor.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right.
Foam everywhere and topless women.
And that's just me.
That's just topless.
I am topless.
Put
Beth showed
away,
up
Beth.
To the 10th. This is the 10th podcast, everybody. Beth showed up. Topless.
I did.
And she came in proudly yelling, 10 podcasts, 3 nipples.
Beth has 3 nipples.
That's
everybody.
Right. I am like Mark Wahlberg. I have a third nipple.
Mark Wahlberg does not have a third nipple.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg does have a third nipple. I thought he had a third nipple. I'm
you
almost
just went from he does to you thought he did.
That's because you made me doubt myself, jackass. First you make me doubt myself about the intro, and then you make me doubt myself about Mark Wahlberg's third nipple.
Never have I ever counted Mark Wahlberg's nipples.
And never shall you.
Well, now I'm gonna, like, Google some images.
I swear to God. Ooh! Go! Yeah! Mm. Someone just closed up shop down there.
Someone just closed up.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, it is the 10th podcast.
Can we all...
We're going to give a little cheers.
Can we all do a little...
We hope you are drinking at home, unless you are underage. In which case, you probably shouldn't
or
listen to this
anyway. Or an alcoholic.
Cheers, everybody.
Yay. To number 10.
Mm. Not just our 10th episode, but just the number 10 in general.
The number,
exactly.
Today's episode is brought to you by the number 10.
Mm-hmm.
The letters S, B, and J.
Yay. Wait, those are our initials.
It was our initials. I was trying to think of another acronym, but when I had B and J next to each other.
BJs.
BJs.
Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by BJs, yeah.
I'm glad I'm the one who makes it plural.
Mm-hmm, exactly. All right, so...
Well, we've had a long run.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have
and this is the time we all announce our retirement.
I have an announcement. I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to go solo.
Playing
I'm
going to
do my own podcast called Jarring Segue The Original. The original.
Good luck.
And it's going to be the original version of this podcast, but it's just going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to text you guys and get things to talk about, but then I will talk about them, and you guys will be silent on the phone.
Oh, and
I like the words we have to call in.
Yeah, and every time we reply, it's going to just say, suck it. Like, all of our replies are just going to say, suck it. So that's what you'll have to talk about, is us saying, suck it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna stick this one out, guys.
Okay, thanks, Johan.
We really appreciate it.
It's true.
Do you guys like champagne, by the way? Is this good for you?
It is Prosecco.
This is Prosecco?
This is what Beth orders at bars. We go out and she drinks this.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm going to drink it quickly because it tastes fruity to me, and then I'm going to be drunk in 10 minutes.
Ooh, things are going to get interesting in 10 minutes, everybody.
I'm going to get drunk, too.
Yeah.
Are you going to get drunk?
Did you guys get drunk this weekend? It was Memorial Day.
No, I didn't.
You know, I did not get drunk.
Neither of you guys got drunk.
No.
I was at my parents'. I don't drink at my parents'.
Oh, you were at your parents'. Mm-hmm. What about you?
You know what? I started to feel it a little bit on Friday night. I went to see my friend's play. And she works for a company called Opening Act. And it was actually her last show before she goes back to get her PhD to become Dr. Gina.
Amazing. And, oh, Gina, I've heard such good things about her.
Oh, Gina's wonderful. But she, so I went with my friend Jackie to see it, and afterwards we had dinner, and we started drinking, like, immediately when we got to the bar, because it was Friday Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. and we ordered more highly alcoholic beers than we realized and drank quickly. So Friday I got a little, mm-hmm. I was glad I was just a couple blocks
away. Do you not
away
like getting home. Drunk? Do you like getting drunk?
I don't mind it. I don't like the aftermath, so.
I'm with you.
I like getting to that tipsy fun, but on the walk home I sober up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the perfect level of drunkenness for me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You too, Beth?
I don't like getting drunk. I do it on the podcast. I'm a very quick drunk. I get drunk very quickly.
I do it on the podcast.
I do it on the podcast a lot. You go back and listen to previous podcasts. You will hear me getting, you know, more and more inebriated. But
Boozy Beth.
Boozy Beth. But I don't like it. I get drunk very quickly, and I don't like that feeling of just being overly silly. I'm already a silly person. I'm already kind of a, you know, whatever person, and I really don't like how I feel in the morning. So I've only been hungover once, though. I've never thrown up.
You've never. Only been hungover in your life once?
Yeah. I don't even know if I was technically hungover.
Maybe three times for me.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are so...
I'm 6 foot
straight
four.
Edged. Kind of...
How
really...
many times have you been hungover?
Countless.
This week.
So many times. I don't.
Yeah, this week.
No, I don't drink a lot. But I, you know, I used to do a good amount of drinking in college.
Uh-huh.
And after college, in grad school. The next day's a little bit harder now than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But drinking's fun. I mean, I don't... I at least would drink once a weekend and get pretty drunk.
I can go a long time. The last relationship I was in, my boyfriend didn't drink. And I kind of stopped drinking, too. And I realized I didn't miss it. And at first, I kind of did it to make him feel a little bit more comfortable. But then I realized that, actually, I was happier not drinking, and I've kind of picked back up a little bit, but I'm still, I can go weeks and weeks and weeks without, I could go 6 months without drinking and not
You're like the camel of booze.
I am.
Do you go to bars and just not order alcohol?
Rarely. I usually at least
order
wine.
She just orders
wine.
A cider, and I think that she's girly.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you order cider?
I do order cider. I'll order one, and I'll have the one. Making
Sorry.
Noise over there. And I'll order one, and I'll kind of My friend Beth will tell you, I either order one and barely touch it, or I order one and I drink it really fast and get kind of tipsy off of one and then feel silly. But the last time I went to a bar, I actually did order water. I ordered seltzer water. I mean, I was fine. We sat outside. My friend had her cider. I had my seltzer water, and I was perfectly
You probably
happy.
Save a lot of money.
Oh, it's unreal how much money. Even a lightweight like me who doesn't need to drink that much to get pretty tipsy, how much money you spend on booze in New York City.
I think about when I was a kid, and I was given an allowance of $20 a week.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good allowance for a kid.
That's pretty good. I didn't do anything.
So you were given allowance just for being born, for existing.
Yeah, it was like
in a karate family.
You got the $20 so that you did not have to ask your parents for $20.
Right.
Basically, yes.
To teach you how to manage your money,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, but I would just spend it on CDs, $20 CDs.
Mm-hmm. For like one a week.
One a week.
One a week.
You must have had a pretty good music collection.
Oh, I wouldn't buy one every single week, but that's where it would go. And I remember thinking it was so much money. $20 was an unbelievable amount of money.
And now you can drop that in an hour.
The problem is that it's still a lot
an
of money,
hour?
But I just drop it quicker.
It takes you an hour? It's like
Beth said, you can drop $20 in an hour.
You can in this
York.
crazy city,
you can spend
$20
in 60 minutes.
My point is that you're going to be out for several hours, and by the time I was done, you spent like 80 or 100.
She's right. In 4 hours.
Are we talking exclusively on booze, or are we talking about
yes.
like, okay.
I was talking about on booze. How you can spend so much, because the thing is, you don't even think about it. Because you get like four beers and then you're like, wait, how did I just spend $25?
This is why I'm glad we live in Brooklyn and not Manhattan.
Oh my God.
Even just that little, the little bridge helps us out a little.
The little
bit.
Bridge.
The
we
little
have.
Bridge.
Little rope bridge.
Speaking of, do you know my dad? Okay. I was home this weekend.
I don't know your dad.
I do not know your dad.
We have not, we
You'll
have
meet
not
him.
Made.
You'll meet him someday.
Papa Hicks.
He's a good guy. Not a good guy. He's a good guy. And he was telling me about how the Brooklyn Bridge is really dangerous, and he freaked me out.
How is it dangerous? You can.
No, it's because there's the a lot of the bridges, unfortunately, need a lot of repair. They've been a little bit neglected.
This bridge in Washington State just collapsed.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, really? Which, where?
Well, I don't know.
Was anybody on it?
I didn't actually read the story. I just looked at the headlines.
Do you know, was anybody on it?
Bridge collapsed. No, it was like a truck, a really heavy truck went over it, and that part collapsed. I don't know if anybody died.
Oh, I hope nobody was on it. That's terrifying. Do you remember, did you ever see in science class that video with the bridge that was doing this?
Yeah, waving.
Again, we're on a podcast, Beth. Can you please explain what your arm is doing?
To all the podcast listeners, I am making a gentle waving motion with my arm to signify that the bridge was slowly buckling. Mm-hmm. It was so badly.
It looks a little like you're graphing the sign of something.
Correct. Absolutely. And it was.
Is terrifying. That a real video? Did that really happen?
That really happened.
What video? What bridge is that?
You know what? I honestly don't know. That is a real video. There were people on that bridge when it happened. There were people died. There's this awful story about this poor man who like wanted to go back and get his dog, you know, in his car, and he couldn't. And so like it's just a horrible. It's just horrible.
But interestingly, I'm thinking of Harry Potter 6 when the bridge goes crazy at the beginning.
Yeah.
You just ruined it for me. And I never saw that one.
Ah, well, it's right in the beginning. It's excellent. Like the absolute first shot of the film.
Yeah, so you'll get over it.
And so I'm thinking of that bridge, and now I'm in my head converting that to I watched that in science class in middle school to learn about something, and that didn't happen.
And that didn't happen.
But in my memory, it did.
Can I ask you the stepfather in the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah.
He just died.
Yeah, Richard Griffin.
He's not actually the stepfather, he's the uncle.
The uncle, the bad uncle, the mean uncle.
He's the uncle, correct.
Yeah.
It's the sister, it's Lily, his mom's Lily, and that's his mom's sister.
I feel like it's kind of a shame if you play a mean character in a movie, because then when you die, like, people secretly kind of are happy you're dead because they associate you with the mean
right.
character.
Right, they don't feel as sad.
The only other part I know him from is from the movie History Boys, and he was such a troubled character in that film.
He did a play with Daniel Radcliffe, Harry, and Daniel Radcliffe talked about the fact that he's like, people don't understand that in the movie, of course, he's an actor. He's cruel to me in the movie. He said in real life, he was the most gentle, loving, he was a real mentor, and so Daniel Radcliffe had nothing but lovely things to say about him. Apparently he was a wonderful man, but I agree, like, there's that thing of, you know, like, when somebody who's played an iconic villain, or just whatever, that there is that, there's less of a, like, when Jimmy Stewart died, you know, that was tough. He was an everyman, he was kind of, you know, the gentleman of the U.S.
Do you feel like there's, if we Googled it, we'd find, like, Harry Potter forums where people were actually really happy this guy died, because they assumed
it was the
uncle
who died. Oh, there are crazy nutters everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the picture.
I feel like that, yeah.
This goes back to our very first episode when we were talking about fan fiction and then that creepy Weasley twin love fest picture that I found and is posted on our Facebook page.
Yep.
There's people go kookadoodle.
Kookadoodle?
I like that.
Over Harry Potter.
I'm going to steal that.
I'm on the verge of maybe I'd use that again and maybe I'll just forget I ever heard that.
You know what?
Okay. I think I will forget I ever heard that.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've ever said kookadoodle
before.
Make
that up?
It's adorable.
I think I might have.
I think you might have. I would like
are
to
you in meth
that.
Or something? Where did that come
I'm
from?
I'm on Prosecco.
You are, which
just
is
a
like
a little bit goes to my head.
It's like a bubble.
And I make up words that grandmothers would say.
Kookadoodle.
Let's kookadoodle.
Well,
ooh, it's a dance.
Let's do the kookadoodle.
Can we say that? I mean, before we jump into the topics, and there are topics.
Oh, there sure
God,
are.
God, Lord Jesus, there are topics.
Amen.
If he's listening right now, Jesus.
He's not.
Jesus.
He's not listening to our podcast.
Oh, that's very religious of you, Beth.
Jesus
isn't listening to the podcast?
He's listening to Marc Maron right now.
Marc Maron sucks.
No, he doesn't.
Anyway, so Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You weren't going to talk about Jesus. We were talking about kookadoodle, making up words.
Yep. So what were we going to say?
Oh, the past 10 episodes have been great. Oh, the 9 ones before this. It's been great. We've done a lot.
I agree.
I think it's true. Introduced the audience to the concept where we talk about complete
random topics.
Random topics.
Sometimes very serious. We've talked about some really serious stuff and some really...
My brother has asked that we warn, I at least text him ahead of time and say, this is not one you should listen to while driving. You'll get angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
What has he gotten angry about?
It was the one where I talked about education. It was our soapbox episode. It was 7 or 8.
Yeah.
One where we all took our turn on the soapbox. Yeah. We were just, it was like teenage angst cast.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I like. I like that we talk about serious things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I like that.
What's first on our list?
Let's jump into topics, guys.
All right, so very first on our list is humanoid robots.
Thanks, Sam. We love you.
Our friend
Sam. Are we talking, like, Total Recall?
I think we are. I think we are talking Total Recall, and it's, like, one of my greatest fears. Zombies and
of being
robots.
One? Of, like, finding out that you are one?
I am not a humanoid robot.
That's what all the humanoid robots say.
Cut me open.
That's what they're all programmed.
Cut me open.
To say.
Oh, you don't think that they've devised humanoid robots to be so complex that you would think that they're real when you cut them open?
All right, so maybe I am. But if I am, I don't know it, so who cares? But I find the concept both interesting and terrifying. Just terrifying. I mean, the idea that we would ever create something that could mimic human emotion and humanity so closely that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, that is terrifying to me. Terrifying.
Do you think we're going to be able to do it, Scott?
You know, I think it's one of those things that even if we could, we just wouldn't.
Like, we, us three.
None of the three of us would do it.
Speak for yourself.
No, I just think as humanity, I think it would be just seen as so... Like, what's the point? Like, why would you replace people with humanoid robots? Because there's already enough people.
But humanoid robots do what you want them to do. That's
it's
the benefit of it. There's going to be somebody. Yeah, but that's long enough into it where you've already benefited from it enough, and then they can kill everybody.
It's a Carl Sandburg poem that it's called The Machine. It's about all machines, but it goes, the machine, yes, the machine, doesn't waste anybody's time, doesn't talk back, doesn't watch the foreman. And it's like, but all a machine needs is a little bit of oil. And it goes on and it says, like, humans, or robots don't have emotion. And that's what we love about humans and what we love about each other is that we are imperfect and we are flawed.
There was a really great, I can't remember who it was, scientist or... technology guy or something, and he was asked the question always asked, which is, our computer is going to take over someday, are we going to live in a matrix style, whatever. And he said, look, the truth of the matter is computers are only as smart as the people who program them. Is that computers do not exist, they do not work without humans behind them. And so the idea that computers will someday take over is fun to see in movies, to imagine and be all freaked out about in this post-apocalyptic, the computers are controlling us. It's like, but that actually doesn't, like, the reasons computers are so amazing is because people are amazing, that people created that code. And that, I was like, that's a really cool way of thinking about it.
I have to disagree, politely, politely as I can with that idea, because it's fucking stupid, A. No, I'm kidding. Because... computers aggregate a bunch of information, so they're taking the best of everybody and putting it together. So it is always going to be better than humans.
But the computer, the ability to aggregate, somebody had to write the program that allows it to aggregate. Somebody,
but that person is not able to aggregate the same amount of information just because they wrote the program.
No, but the thing is that aggregation of data is not the same as complex thought. Aggregation of data is a system of processing information that is very different from what we do, because what we do is we filter ideas through emotions, we filter it through lived experience, we filter it through observation. So, I mean,
through
I feel like...
bigotry, we filter it
exactly,
through bias...
For better and worse, exactly.
Now, just, this is related to humanoid robots, but it's taken us a little bit off task, but did you guys know that a robot that looks like a female is actually a gynoid, or gynoid? Probably gynoid.
Right, like gynecology.
A gynoid. So a humanoid means it is shaped like a man. Gynoid. Is it's shaped like a woman.
Oh, man. They
really?
Gynoid robot. Yeah, so Judy Jetson's, or the, what, Rosie. Rosie is the
Rosie.
Maid. Judy is the daughter. Oh, my childhood all rushing back to me. And
what was up with Judy?
What was up with Judy? Amen. But, Rosie the gynoid.
The gynoid.
Oh, no, Rosie I'm talking about. She was...
She's something else.
She was She was built like a sort of a bitch. Brick house. Yeah. She was built like a...
She was kind of a bitch.
Well, but...
She was a little bit sassy.
Yeah, I mean, like...
She was clearly modeled after...
She was programmed that way. Don't blame her. Blame her program.
I believe she was modeled after the Alice from...
Yes.
The Brady Bunch.
I agree. I agree completely. I think she was...
That's just my guess.
It's a good guess.
Probably right.
They're built the same.
Yeah.
They've got just the right amount of sass.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I agree. I agree. So, just so you know, I drank this faster than I probably should have.
Oh, good.
Well, that's pretty good.
Our next topic on our list. Our next topic on our list, I think, goes well with A, being drunk, B, human emotions driving us to crazy places.
I know what you're going to say. And
The Great Gatsby. The Great Gatsby.
I love that book.
Why do you like that book, Beth?
Our friend Lavelle sent this in.
Hi, Lavelle.
And he sent in The Great Gatsby. I believe he means the Baz Luhrmann
movie. I'm sure he does. Which I have not seen, Lavelle.
I have seen it.
Well, Scott has seen it. I have not. Johan, you
have
not
seen it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to... I won't spoil too much. I actually enjoyed it. But you have to go in knowing that it is a Baz Luhrmann movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be...
What are Baz Luhrmann movies...
Strictly Ballroom, Moulin Rouge,
Romeo plus Juliet.
He did that awful...
That was a Leo DiCaprio one.
Yeah. Correct.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. He did that awful one with Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman, Australia.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But his stuff is just... I mean, it's supposed to be heightened. It's supposed to...
Absolutely.
It's supposed to be visual, and Great Gatsby is. It's supposed to have a great soundtrack that fuses the time period with
modernity.
The modern music, and he does that beautifully. A lot of Lana Del Rey, a lot of Beyonce. It's great. But he frames this text with Nick has gone back to the Midwest, and he's in like a crazy house for being depressed and a drunk.
Really?
And it's like, no, Nick gets out while the getting, like, while he still can save himself.
Is this pick up from where it left off?
No, and then it's just all flashback. Because it is Nick's story. It should be Tobey Maguire gets first billing, not Leonardo DiCaprio.
But you thought Tobey Maguire should have been.
No, Nick is the narrator.
Yeah,
the main
Nick Carraway.
Character.
Nick Carraway
is
not
Gatsby.
Toby.
Yeah.
The main character is
Nick. I didn't know Toby was in it.
Yeah,
he's Nick. He's the... And the thing is, everybody assumes that Gatsby is the lead, but Gatsby actually is more this man that is like... he's this iconic, bigger-than-life character in the book, but you're absolutely right. Nick is
And in the movie. I mean, they do it very well. And Baz Luhrmann beats you over the head with the symbolism, but so does Fitzgerald in his own way. I think it would be good to take high schoolers too, because it's like, oh, see, the symbolism, the green light, and high schoolers that need that.
Right.
Look at the symbolism. It's in your face. It's waving a big green light in your face.
Right.
Kind of, and then they feel good because they're noticing symbolism.
Right.
And they're doing it without you telling them, even though you're really kind of pointing them in the direction.
Wow.
Secrets of teaching.
You really have such...
Secrets of teaching. It's clearly May.
High views of your students.
It's clearly May.
Yeah.
No, it's actually wonderful. But that's why I like teaching Fitzgerald and Salinger and, Tennessee Williams. Is because they really are. Just the symbolism is so in your face.
It
it's
is.
Wonderful.
It is. Salinger especially.
Can you read a separate piece?
Fucking hate Salinger.
Great book.
I like a separate
piece. Oh, I
remember
a separate piece. John Knowles, I think, wrote that.
John Knowles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's funny because I haven't seen the movie. I don't know. I feel like Baz Luhrmann will never be better than... I actually tweeted this, that no matter what Baz Luhrmann does, he will never match the perfection that is...
Moulin Rouge.
Strictly Ballroom.
No, Moulin Rouge, great.
No, absolutely not. Strictly Ballroom is a perfect movie in pretty much every way. Now I'm really going to be in trouble. Got one more glass Prosecco to drink, and then I'm going to be... drunk as crap.
You're going to be like someone at a Gatsby party.
Exactly. Well, this is very true. It's very appropriate that I'm drinking Prosecco talking about Gatsby. But I do like Baz Luhrmann. I like the way he does move. I like that he makes his movies so beautiful that he's not afraid to be over the top, that he doesn't feel like he has to always be super real, because that actually bothers... Mm-hmm. It's something that bothers me about movies is there's this weird thing that happened. I'm going on a bit of a tangent where... Do you remember those wonderful alien movies of, like, especially the 70s that Steven Spielberg ushered in with, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind and E.T.?
Sure. Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, awesome movie, absolutely. And, like, the movies were based on the idea that there were actually aliens and everything like that. And then, like, the 90s and the aughts came along, and all of a sudden, every movie...
Do we call them the aughts?
I do.
Okay.
With the aughts?
The aughts.
I'm judging you a little bit. What's the zeros? Zero, one, zero...
Go like this.
Yeah, I got some food in my face. Yeah.
The aughts, because it's another word for zero is aught.
Whoa!
The aughts.
20-aught-5. Whoa.
Do you think anybody's going to use that ever?
Yeah, people use it.
Maybe. I don't know.
.com it.
Fine. Anyway, so the 90s and the zeros came along, and every movie that came along, like, phenomenon with John Travolta, like, you thought maybe he was having visions and become whatever, but it turned out he had a tumor.
Phenomenon was, like, 97, 98.
Right. Well, and K-Pax with Kevin Spacey, and, like, he thinks he's an alien, but really he's just mentally ill. And, like, all these movies basically decided they were going to kill movie magic. Like, everything was real, and if you had any kind of vision, that just meant you were dying of a tumor. And then Baz Luhrmann is someone who, like... He really believes in movie magic. Like, he will do... And it's not even that his movies have magic in them. It's that he believes in the magic of unrealistic... Like, people burst into song at unrealistic times. Like, if you've seen Strictly Ballroom, which is one of his more grounded in reality ones, there's, like, really weird, cool sequences that, like, are silly and over the top. Because it's movies. Why not? We can do it. And so I actually really like him, and I'm kind of curious to see his Gatsby for that reason.
I enjoyed his Gatsby, and the thing I enjoyed the most was actually this actress who I did not know a lot about. At first I was I know Carey Mulligan, and I was a little bit, like, I had seen her in An Education, and that's where she solidified herself in my head. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if she could pull off a Daisy Buchanan. I think she does a nice job, but the woman who plays Jordan... I had never seen before,
and
I was just riveted by her. Yeah, it was the actress's name is Elizabeth Debicki.
D-E-B-I-C-K.
No one does. She's not in much of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an actress in three other things on IMDb.
This podcast mentioning her could potentially
put her on the map.
Put her on the map.
I thought she was wonderful, and I want to see her do more
work. We should get her on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get her on the show. She's luckily not clearly getting a lot of other work, so
let's
maybe
get her on.
She
ask
does
her about
have time.
The Gatsby movie.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody out there has celebrity friends,
I like her, and I like the character of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Gatsby, I haven't seen it. Book's great.
Mm-hmm.
How about Arrested Development?
I just watched 3 episodes of the new Arrested Development last night, actually.
I can't do it. I'm done.
My friend Teddy...
Pat looks so defeated and angry.
My friend Teddy, I believe, is in the same boat as you, because his exact request for our topics was the anticipation, arrival of, banality of watching, and regret of Arrested Development Season 4.
Beth, let me ask you, Scott, have you seen it?
I have not seen any
of
the episodes.
Beth, you were a huge fan back in the day.
I was. Yeah. I watched it when it was on. I actually did watch it on TV.
Okay.
And for a while I owned all three seasons.
And you loved it.
And I loved it. And I loved it, and I thought it was really funny, and I would, you know, I would send texts to my friends quoting back and forth and stuff like that. So yeah, I was a huge fan back in the day, and
I love that the boat is called the C word.
The C word. I'll leave when I'm good and ready. Best line in the entire show. You get the C word. You get that C word out of here. I'll leave when I'm good and ready, Michael. Best line in the whole thing.
So what did you think about the new season?
So I didn't
That's a
have...
good impersonation, by the way, Beth.
Thank you. I love Jessica Walter. She's amazing. She's incredible on Archer too. Really, really wonderful on Archer. But the thing is that I wasn't excited or not excited for it. Like, it was kind of off my radar, but I'm like, oh, that's cool that they have episodes back and they're doing the movie. And so when I saw that the episodes had been released, I think it was Sunday morning, like Sunday they premiered, I was like, oh, cool, that'll be great. I'll watch them. I was home. I was just chilling out with my parents. I was like, this will be perfect. I'll sit and watch some, you know, 30 minutes, no commercials. That's great. And I put on the first one, watched that one, watched the second one, watched the third one, and I turned it off and I was like, I'm done. I have nothing left for this show.
So what was happening?
It's
what
not
was
the
different?
Type of show, to me, at least, that you would watch all the way through.
You could, though. No, you could. I mean, the old episodes?
Old episodes, I could watch entire
You can watch
season.
Them on loop, but it's not, like, one arc. So yeah, I think that idea of watching, like, a whole day of brand new stuff instead of waiting and...
But I was done after two. Like, I was done after two.
I was pretty much done after one.
I was done after one or two. Like, this wasn't like I killed it for myself. This was, I was watching it going, I have zero idea what the point is. They have nothing left to say. They are everything is just an old joke. There's nothing new here. These characters haven't, and it's not even these characters haven't grown. Part of the fun, part of the hilarity is that these characters are so self-involved that they don't grow, you know, that they don't change. But I was like, I actually thought the show... You know, when people said it was canceled too soon back in the day, I actually told people, I said, I disagree. I think the show was canceled at the perfect time. I think three seasons was the perfect amount of time for this kind of show.
You know, it's just too bad you weren't doing a podcast back then, because we could play a clip of this and we could have a real I told you so moment.
I know.
We could pretend.
Oh.
Now let's hear,
myself, yeah.
let's hear Beth's old podcast, Smooth Transition.
From what year was this?
This is from the year...
2006.
So we actually recorded something in 2006. Mm-hmm. We met each other briefly, and we recorded something actually about Arrested Development. Let's listen to it.
It sounded like this.
So, Beth, so you watched Arrested Development this weekend. Do you like it?
I do. I love this
show. Isn't it great?
It is so great. But you know what? I gotta say, I think it's the kind of show that's really only meant to be on for, like, two or three seasons.
Oh,
I gotta say.
I mean, you're so wise.
I know. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, nobody believes you.
No, I think they're gonna...
God, Beth, you're gonna look back at this day and laugh at yourself. You will have so much egg in your face.
I know. It's gonna go on forever. And I'm gonna be like, what was I thinking? It should only be on for three seasons or two seasons. Seasons or whatever it's on, but I don't know. I just feel it in my gut, guys.
Beth, I'm telling you, they're gonna bring out a new season. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna feel like a fucking bitch.
Oh, Johan, don't say that. You know what? Just keep drinking your cheap beer and shut up.
Yeah, guys, now let's talk about President Bush.
Oh, I hate him. What a dick.
They couldn't possibly get anybody who would be worse than him.
Two more years, guys.
Oh, God, I hope he doesn't get reelected.
Done.
Wait, he already did.
Done.
I can't wait till the new president comes and stops drone attacks.
Yeah, that'll be great.
And close to Guantanamo. I'm telling you guys, it's going to happen right away.
God.
And he's never going to do anything against the media. He's going to be awesome.
I agree. High five, guys. High five.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I was dead on about the ending drone strikes thing.
You were. And Guantanamo.
And the media thing.
We have truly grown, but we are mystics.
I know. I can't believe.
Well, I was actually wrong in everything I said.
Oh, Scott, that's all right. Someday when we go back and look at one of the podcasts that you were right about,
are there those things?
There are.
We've got a few opinion questions. Should we go on to one of these opinion questions?
Yeah, I feel like with the rest of Development, I actually don't care. You know,
I turned off after three episodes. I don't care anymore.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
Now, Heidi.
Heidi. Hello, Heidi.
Heidi has asked us, first, how much do bed bugs suck?
So much so you want to die.
Done.
Have you guys had bed bugs?
No. Oh my God. So story from first week I moved to Brooklyn. Went to Pavilion Theater. Do you know the Pavilion Theater?
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Went with my friend Beth, who was staying with me for a few days, helping me move in.
Yeah, they're known for their bed bugs.
I know.
I still go. I live on the edge.
No, they just changed all of their seats.
Oh, good.
So you can now go, and they've literally redone.
Where's the Pavilion Theater?
It's on Prospect Park West. It's in Park Slope.
It's like right on the corner of Windsor Terrace.
Exactly.
On the corner of the park.
They're known for their
bed bugs.
They were known for their bed bugs. They have just done
They're known for shitty popcorn and bed bugs.
And they just did a full renovation.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Yes, it is possible.
I always get it, though, and then I have a stomach ache, and then I'm like, but it was good.
Popcorn is so good. It's probably the only reason I actually go to movie theaters anymore.
It's true. My friend Molly convinced me back, like, a couple of years ago that why would you go to a movie if you're not going to get the popcorn?
Do you know, I agree with Molly, because I think if you're going to go to a movie...
It's an experience.
Fucking commit.
I didn't get popcorn. I actually don't get popcorn very often. I was the one who would go to the movie and not get snacks at all. And now I go to the movie and I have snacks in my bag and I feel like I feel like one of those people, like I have a big purse and I sneak in like bags of M&Ms and like water and stuff. And
I used to go with my parents and we'd have to all bring cans of Coke.
Yep.
And then you'd have to sneeze when you opened it.
Yes.
Because you'd be embarrassed that you're a little bit, you know, less than upper
class. Maybe you were allergic to aluminum.
Ooh.
No, or coke syrup? We would fake sneeze, sorry.
Oh. Achoo!
I will say, totally off topic, I am super excited about Fast and Furious 6, and I will be in the theaters if anyone wants to go with me. Anybody wants to go with me?
Not trust your judgment on anything.
Do you know it has a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes?
What the fuck does that matter? The general public is so stupid.
That's the critics, asshole. It's not the general public.
The critics are stupid as well.
You know what is funny about Fast and the Furious 6 is that I saw that it was coming out and I went, I didn't even know there was a third. I knew there were two.
Well, you gotta catch up.
Yeah, I've not seen any of them.
I haven't seen 2 through 5. I've only seen 1.
And yet you're so excited about 6.
That's because The Rock is in it. Dwayne Johnson, who is gorgeous and sexy and interesting and cool.
He's interesting.
Yes.
He's like a fucking appliance.
My vagina finds him interesting, okay?
Your vagina likes kitchen appliances.
No, my vagina... Actually.
I'm imagining her using one of those, like... A hand blender.
Ow.
An immersion blender.
Ow, that sounds like
on
it hurt.
Her badge. It
no!
Would. Immersion no. blend your badge.
I really don't want to move on until we fully...
The magic bullet is...
Understand Beth's obsession with The Rock.
I'm really
so
disappointed.
Why?
Because I think The Rock is...
It's gorgeous.
No, a waste.
He's a waste.
Yeah, like, why does that person exist? Why does that person get paid so much money to do anything?
Why does anybody get paid to do anything in Hollywood?
No, he's not talented. He's not pretty. He's not anything.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry.
Beth has a blender in her mouth, guys.
And
I have a blender in my mouth. He is gorgeous. He is 6'4". He is ripped.
I am also 6'4", and I am not ripped, but I would rather look at me than Dwayne Johnson.
You're gorgeous, and I would happily look at you and Dwayne Johnson.
I don't.
If you had a choice, you could have sex with The Rock or Scott. Who would you have sex with?
That's not fair.
I bet.
Why
I'm
is that not fair?
Can I have sex with both of them?
I'm really no.
I want to have sex with both of them at the same time.
Okay, that's good.
If The Rock has been in there, Scott's not going.
What? Who says The Rock's been in there? Because there's more theirs than just there.
I'm not.
Oh my God.
This is what happens when you give me Prosecco.
Yeah, Beth.
Now imagine
Beth is now taking off her sweater.
Scott, Beth, and The Rock doing an Eiffel Tower.
God,
so you like The Rock?
I do.
What other movies do you like that are terrible? Let's think. Do you like Juno?
No.
I like Juno.
I don't like Juno.
Oh my God, that's one of the worst movies ever made in the history of mankind.
I hate Michael Cera. I don't like that movie.
Then why did you loved Arrested Development?
But there was more than just Michael Cera in that. He was, Portia de Rossi, Jason Bateman, just, Jeffrey Tambor,
I liked Juno.
God, that was
you would. You don't like The Rock. You like Juno. I don't understand.
Did you ever see Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yeah.
That was good. That was almost worse than Juno, if there was such thing.
The book is good.
That's what everybody says, and I never read the book.
The book is good. The movie I thought was cute. For me, it was like a nice review of a book I had read 5 years ago.
That's probably what
did you see the Derby one? What was that one? The roller derby one with Ellen Page? What was that one called? Do you remember?
Seabiscuit.
Ellen Page
about the
so
Derby.
Annoying.
No.
Speaking of Toby Maguire,
you're such an ass.
And
no.
horses.
No.
Joe's favorite thing.
Horses. I hate Ellen Page.
See, why? I loved her Derby movie.
I hate this bullshit, precocious teenager crap.
She's good in Inception.
I guess, but I can't get through I can't get past the Juno thing.
I will say in interviews, she seems like a genuinely sweet and lovely person. Who knows if she is, but she seems
and
like
she
a
seems
person.
Like she's not the type of person who would wear glasses without a prescription.
Oh, seriously.
People do that, by the way?
Yes, they do. All the time. Especially in Brooklyn.
And how do you know that they don't have a prescription?
Ryan would like us to talk about this.
Thank you, Ryan. How do you know they don't have a prescription?
Hi, Ryan. It's just something that celebrities do it sometimes. People will talk about the fact that, you can get, glasses. Every once in a while, you'll see someone with frames where they do not have lenses in them. So that's
no,
a dead
with
point.
Nothing in them.
Every once in a while, that's rare.
When I was glasses shopping and looking at lenses recently, one of the sales clerks was like, "Oh, now are these for prescription?" I was like,
"What?
Yeah,
of course.
Why would I spend $200 on frames A without insurance and B when I don't need them?"
I question. I don't understand why you guys are so judgmental. People who would want to do that. People want to look good in glasses. Who cares? Who gives a shit?
I did used to really want glasses until I got them and realized when it rains, it's a bitch. When they smudge, and they leave those red marks.
And they're
marks
so expensive.
Face.
Like when you need them, because when you have to have them, I can't not wear glasses. Like if these broke right now, I would be $200-$400 out of my pocket because I'd have to buy new. I'd have to buy new ones. I legally can't.
And isn't it crazy that you can't see without glasses?
It's ridiculous.
Doesn't that harm your psyche?
I can see.
It's weird.
It's just like an 80s music video. Everything's in soft
focus. That's insane. You guys need glasses to be able to function?
This is.
No,
I would be depressed.
This is how close my hand has to be clear.
That's
like once
crazy.
I get there, I start to blur.
Beth, again, we are an auditory.
That was for Johan's benefits, guy.
Can you approximate the distance your hand is
what
from
was,
your eyes?
How far was that, do you think?
I'd say,
that's about 6 inches?
I'd say that's
not. 6 inches? No.
No?
I know 6 inches. That's not 6 inches.
Well played, sir. Yeah.
That's like 9 inches.
Yeah. So, about 9 inches from my face. I'm not legally blind, but I cannot legally drive without without prescriptive.
I
can't drive without a diaphragm.
I did just drive.
I'm so glad I don't need glasses.
Without a diaphragm, and I also bit the bullet and ordered prescription sunglasses.
I want them.
We live near some beaches.
Yeah.
Who knows what they look like after Sandy? But when I go to the beach or am convinced to do anything out in the sun, I always have a book with me and I want to read and I have to switch back and then the page is too bright. Or
yeah.
Where do you how do you read in the sun though on a beach? You read on your stomach?
Yeah.
Then don't your arms fall asleep? Mine do.
I hate the sun.
Weird.
That was the weirdest laugh.
That was really creepy.
Don't your arms fall asleep?
That was like what you would say right before you chop someone's arms off. Don't your arms fall asleep? Do you want me to take care of that for
Speaking
you?
Speaking of chopping arms off.
Yeah.
If you had to eat feces.
Gross.
Do you want to eat your own or someone else's?
Heidi, you are so great and I love you. And I'm sure I would love you if I met you in person. That is a disgusting question and gross.
Heidi.
And I abstain. I am not answering
that question. I think Heidi's trying to get me to answer whether or not I would eat her shit.
That's
and I
disgusting.
Would, Heidi.
Abstain.
I would eat a friend's feces.
I think I'd...
I wouldn't eat a stranger's feces.
I oddly think I'd rather eat someone else's than my own. If I had to eat feces
for
whatever
reason. Oh, I
would
totally eat my own. Why would you not eat your own?
I don't know, because I've already eaten it once.
That's not a good enough reason.
I don't like to.
Do
I don't like to live in the past.
Can we get an explanation?
Maybe
are you being serious or are you being gross?
I'm being like. I mean, how can you not be gross with this question?
Oh my god,
it's like,
disgusting.
Oh, I know.
Have you guys ever eaten shit before?
No, I mean we all have because. Hello, we live in a world.
Because we went
world.
To that party last week.
No, we live in a world where, unfortunately, they you know when they do those things on, like, 2020, when they show you how much, like,
when
fecal matters
on
your toothbrush and, like, your water bottle, and it's disgusting and it grosses you out. So it's like, you know, what are you going to do? But have I ever done the divine in the John Waters movie? Whatever the hell.
What is that?
What is not female troubles. What's the John Waters movie?
John Waters is so weird.
I love him, though. I love him as a human being. But, like, he actually had Divine eat dog shit in that movie. And she really did.
I don't know.
It's disgusting. And I can't remember the name of the fucking movie.
Maybe if it's Frozen. But I know that...
Ew!
I know... No, I'm serious.
Like,
as someone who had to, like, pick up dog shit, if I could get to it before the winter thaw, it was fine. But if I got it in the spring or, like, fresh summer dog shit, it was like, I would gag. I would be throwing up while picking up dog shit. And my dad would be like, stop being dramatic. And I was like, A, I am a dramatic kid.
Feces
B,
are so gross.
It's steaming hot dog shit with flies around it.
Just, oh my god. Okay, look, as we all know, since I mention it every podcast, I grew up on a farm. I've had manure in my life.
Beth is Amish.
Quaker. Jackass. But I grew up on a farm.
Beth, every time she comes over to my apartment, I have to explain electricity to her when I turn on the lights.
Every time. I get scared and I hide under the table.
Beth shows up riding like a goat.
A goat, because I know Johan doesn't like horses.
Yeah, that's very nice
goats.
Of you.
Although your old-timey bonnet is just, it's really helpful in this rain that we're having today.
It is. I enjoy it.
But in terms of shit.
Come on.
Beth, I'm not off this yet.
This is our 10th podcast. It is so special. And what are we talking about? We're talking about eating poop.
Hey, that's what Jarring Segue does. We talk about things.
Can we please talk about Heidi's other one, Bedbugs or Crabs? Because that one I would actually want to answer.
Go ahead.
Bedbugs or crabs, Heidi? Crabs. Because there is a easier way to get rid of it. Bedbugs are like the worst. Apparently.
How do you get rid of crabs?
There's a prescription for it.
There's a prescription.
I believe crabs are a form of lice. Yeah. They're just a form of lice. So like technically you could shave all your pubic hair.
And they would go away?
Yeah, because they're in the hair. They're not actually...
They're not on the skin?
You have something actually...
Don't...
Ironically, you have something in your hair. It's not even a bug. It was like a little fuzzy...
It's a gigantic lobster.
Sweater.
But yeah, but the...
Unless it's like a teal lice. He's having an 80s party in her
from
hair.
What... If I'm correct, I think that crabs are just pubic lice. And so, like, a lot of people, they... Oh, that's hilarious. You can shave. Like, I think you could shave all your pubic hair. And they also make just... things you can put on that will kill them. But the thing is that it's a fairly contained thing. And then, of course, like, if you slept in your bed, like, if you had them and you slept in your bed, you should wash your sheets in really hot water. But bed bugs are scarier to me. Like, because they can infest your stuff and just...
And they won't go away forever.
And they don't go away, and they bite you, and...
Also, to get crabs, you're probably doing something a little more fun.
Right.
Than going to a seedy movie theater.
Exactly.
Or living in an apartment next to someone filthy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you get them, I would imagine it's not fun. I've never had them, but... Of course, disclaimer, I've never had them. But, you know, I would imagine it's not fun, but it's not the end of the world. You go to the doctor and they give you a prescription for something and it's not, you know, it really isn't the end of the world. Whereas, like, with bed bugs, there are people who, like, have to sell all their stuff. Not even sell all their stuff. They have to
sell all their...
Wouldn't that be wrong?
Sell all their shit. Please buy our bed bug mattress.
Yeah, but they have to, like, throw out all their stuff.
Burn it.
I mean, it really is. It's terrible. Yeah.
And with moving... My friend Angela sent in, I thought, two lovely requests that I'm going to combine as one. First, she said, being at the mercy of landlords.
Uh-huh.
And the second topic was the perpetual shifting concept of home.
Hmm.
And I just thought that was lovely.
I do, too.
Do you think your sense of home is changing?
I just moved.
I'm never at home anywhere.
I uprooted my life in... Syracuse and moved down here about 9 months ago.
But do you consider this home now?
I'm starting to, although there are days that I still call Syracuse home too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in order for me to stay here, I need to start thinking of it as home.
Yeah. You and I have a similar last year, because I just moved from Providence. I just moved from New England in September. I mean, you probably moved in what, like July or August? Right before the school year. And I just moved in September. And I have this weird thing where I always feel guilty when I say to my parents, oh, I'm probably going to leave for home at 3 when I'm at my parents' house, which I still consider kind of home. When I say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home tomorrow. And I always feel that little bit of pang of guilt, like I'm somehow saying that I consider Brooklyn home or even Providence home rather than my parents' home. But, like, I think if I had to come down to it, I always will consider, like, in the most nostalgic way, home is where my parents are. Because that's, you know... It's where I was born. That's where I was raised.
Yeah, unless your parents moved somewhere crazy.
Right, unless they moved somewhere else. But even then, I think would still consider that home.
Really?
That's where my parents are.
Interesting.
But I do, I'm with you in that I still don't quite, I still have days when I walk around New York City and I'm like, I live in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? I live in New York City. What in the hell? Like, I live in New York City. And then other days where it's so mundane that I live here that I don't even think
about. Do you know what's
it.
Interesting about that is that I had that all the time. Until the last year. I think it goes away after 5 years. Because I had that all the time.
Yeah.
3 years in, I couldn't believe I still lived in... I couldn't believe I lived in New York City. But, no, it does go away.
Yeah. I see. I don't know if I'll make it 5 years, though. I don't know if I want to turn 40 in New York. Because I just turned 35. What?
Oh, everybody, it was Beth's birthday last week.
Mm-hmm. Huzzah, let's pop some more Prosecco.
Oh, wait, we can't. Bethel's stupid and only got one bottle. Actually, Beth was not stupid. No, she Beth got two. Was
well planned for a Tuesday.
Yeah. But, no, I feel like I would have a hard time turning 40 in New York City. I don't know why, but there's something very specific about that number and living in New York for me.
Where do you want to be?
That is an excellent question.
Like in another city, or you want to be in a smaller place?
No, I want to be in another city. But smaller, but not as small as Providence. Providence was too small.
Yeah.
Providence was tiny. And in some good ways, but in other ways, it was stifling. So that could also have been my circumstances of the fact that I, you know, was in a job I wasn't really right for me, and I was had just gone through a breakup and stuff. That'll make you feel like you need to move from a city no matter what.
See, I feel like I don't live here. I'm not settled in with my job yet, not a full year in and things like that. But then I spend a weekend in Brooklyn where I don't have to get in a car to go see friends. I just hop on my bike or walk I feel great about that, and that feels comforting and settling and very at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like weirdly that everybody, except for people who are born here and who are just born and raised New Yorkers, I feel like everybody who lives in New York, no matter how long they've been here, always in the back of their mind has the thing of, so I wonder when I'm going to move. Because I feel like it's such a transient city. I feel like it's a city that's constantly coming and going, and people are constantly leaving and moving in. That there's always the possibility that you might one day wake up and go, all right, I'm done. I got what I needed.
There's that Sondheim song about it from Company. Where 100 people just got off of the plane and sung really fast. It's a patter song. Lovely.
I'm sure it is. I love Sondheim. He's amazing.
Let's listen to that right now.
Okay.
Another 100 people just got off of the train and came up through the ground while another 100 people just got off of the bus and are looking around at another 100 people who got off of the plane and are looking at us who got off of the train and the plane and the bus maybe yesterday.
That was a lovely song.
That was from the original or one of the two subsequent revivals.
Wow, Beth, how did you track that down?
It's amazing what I can do. It's amazing
the things you can do when you're forced to do them.
Mm-hmm. You truly can.
I have no options.
Now, Angela's other topic was being at the mercy of landlords, which has to be not quite as fun as being at the mercy of your fellow podcasters and their crazy sound effect requests.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, a parakeet having a grand day.
Wow. It sounded like he was bathing. Did you hear water in the background?
He was really... That was a happy, wet parakeet.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw both of you out a window. Oh, wait. And it would sound like this.
Good job, Beth.
I know.
Glad you're getting on board here.
I'm really happy Johan and I are both talking right now so that our listeners don't think that was real. We're very War of the Worlds style.
Yeah.
Where they're not worried that we are really... Right.
We're actually alive, guys.
Yes, we exactly.
Yeah. Landlords. Yeah. They're always crazy. Being at the mercy of the tenants are crazy, so you have to be at the mercy of the landlords.
True.
Yeah.
Some tenants are crazy. I think
it goes both ways. I think there are crazy tenants, crazy landlords. I think landlords, I think it can be scary if you're a renter. The thing that's hard about New York is that it does feel like, for the most part, unless you have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of options. You're renting, you're at the mercy of landlords. You know, you give them money.
That's true.
You know, sometimes they ask for not just security deposit, but first and last month's rent and security deposit, so you may be out $2,000-$3,000, and then when the time comes to move out, hope you get your money back. And most of the time, you do. Most people I know get their money back. They do, but now, every once in a while.
Did you guys notice on your way in that my hallway has been repainted, the stairs are brand new, and there is a crazy mural going up downstairs. Did you guys notice that?
I saw that.
It's all these like random pieces of plywood.
I actually like that mural because it looks like a public school.
Mm-hmm. Connor and I said it looks like an 8-year-old boy did it. Like he actually painted that mural.
Yeah, maybe an 8-year-old boy did do it.
You know, when I was in college, I sat on the roof. It was maybe the second week of college, second weekend, first weekend even. Mm-hmm. And I sat on the roof and I got caught and some of the other people just jumped out. It was like a little second floor overhang. We shouldn't have been sitting there, but some friends popped out the screen and we were all sitting there. We got caught. It was stupid. But I had to do Shaw Hall Community Service and I started a mural project.
What's Shaw Hall?
Shaw Hall is where I lived freshman year. And because all of our halls in Syracuse were named after different chancellors. So I lived in Shaw Hall, and I had to do community service. And so there was this big hallway that was just a white wall, and I said, I'm going to get people excited, and we'll paint a mural in this hallway, and that'll be my community service for sitting on the roof. And I did, and it is forever known as Scott's Mural, because the mural that won was an alien boy, an alien girl, and an alien Syracuse Orangeman. And the text read Shaw 2 Haps, because we lived on the second floor, so Shaw 2 Haps. And I'm not sure what Haps was happenings, but it was the ugliest mural I have ever seen.
Is it still there?
No, I'm pretty sure they painted over it. But I had some friends who moved into Shaw the next year, so I was a sophomore and they were freshmen. They were like talking about this horrible mural, and I was like, oh, that's my mural.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a picture of it?
Shaw 2 Haps? I don't. This was before Facebook, because I'm ancient. Mm. And I don't think... I bet somewhere I have a picture of Shaw 2 Haps.
I feel like you do.
I'll look into it, but...
I would like to see it.
It is the worst mural slightly rivaled now.
You should paint it downstairs.
I should. Shaw 2 Haps. It. Boys, girls, and oranges, welcome. Oh, and oranges and boys and girls were spelled with Z's. That was the full text. Shaw 2 Haps, boys... girls and oranges, welcome. It was really horrible.
For the love of.
You know what else will be horrible?
What?
Global warming.
Oh.
Global warming. Dave would like us to talk about how states like Texas and Arizona will cope with global warming.
What does that mean? Well, what's going to happen to them? It's just going to get hotter.
Well, he thinks they're going to get hotter and more ridiculous and inhabitable. And I think he's got a little bit of a vengeful side, and he's like, well, serves him right for saying it's not a thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Because we know that the states think as a collective whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I always laugh at people whenever there's a really cold day, when people are like, yeah, okay, global warming. And I'm like, you do realize, and it's actually one of the reasons that I think.
It's slightly a misnomer.
Well, the thing about it is it's climate change. Is not, you know, global war. I hate the fact that we call it global warming because, for one thing, when you say warming, doesn't it sound lovely? The warming glow of the fire. It just sounds like a lovely thing that we enjoy. Global warming, the planet will get.
Warm. I don't know. To me, it doesn't.
But I think
I'm imagining you two like shopping for lube together and seeing some that have warming elements in them. And Beth being like, oh, this sounds lovely. And John being like, no, warming. Put it down.
I
put
like
it
the
down.
Idea that we would just randomly be shopping for lube
I
together.
I think that should be episode 11. The three of us shopping for lube.
Oh, can we?
You guys want to go to the zoo? I want
to go
shop for lube together.
Can we go to Babes in Toyland?
Sure.
Sure.
Feminist run, women owned. Toyland. I think it's called Toyland.
Babeland?
Babeland?
I think it's called Babeland.
Babes in Toyland, a movie?
But yeah. I want to call it Babes in Toyland. Can I please?
In your heart, yes. On our podcast,
Babeland.
No.
Babeland. Fine. Fine. I want to go to Good Vibrations, too, but I think that's in Boston.
I have one in the Bay Area as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was about to say, there's one in San Francisco.
Didn't it start in San Francisco? Yeah. Good vibes. Yay.
There's the pleasure chest here as well.
That's right.
It's very clean and open.
Is that
well
a nice?
Lit.
That's a nice one as well.
To me, it's all about lighting. Like you go in and it's dark and dingy, and you're like, "I want out of here, crazy, scary." And you go in some place that looks like Barnes and Noble, but they're not selling books.
Right.
And you're like, oh,
I,
this
you
is
know,
fine.
I, well, they are selling books, but all of them have fisting in the title. The
fisting Avenger, fisting with your mother-in-law,
fisting and prejudice.
Pride and fisting.
Yeah. Wow.
Pride and fisting.
Pride and fisting. I like pride and sense and fisting. Oh, I like that. The great fisting.
I kind of like fisting and sensibility.
Fisting and sensibility.
The fisting Gatsby.
Yes, exactly.
These are fun.
I know.
Fisting in the rye.
Yes, I was about to do that one. Well played. Well played.
A movable fist.
The scarlet fisting.
Their eyes were fisting God.
That's disgusting.
This is like the game my brother and I play at Christmas where we replace a word in any Christmas Carol title with vagina.
Uh-huh.
The first vagina. I saw three vaginas. It came upon a vagina.
Oh,
clear.
Holy vagina.
Silent vagina. We got laughing in church one year so hard because everything was like, what a joyous Christmas. And we were like, we can't even go tell it on a vagina.
Is it always vagina?
Yeah, you just... it's a very mature game my brother and I did in college. And we... I believe I was crying in church on Christmas Eve because I just couldn't make it through Mass.
Yeah, I will say my favorite
Little drummer boy works no matter where you change the word.
Vagina drummer boy, little vagina boy, little drummer vagina. Oh my God.
It's great, yeah.
It's perfect. It is perfect.
Yeah.
We three vaginas. Anyway.
And now we can do this with literature and fisting.
I think my favorite name for an adult store is probably the Smitten Kitten. I don't know why. And it's got a kitten in the logo, but they sell dildos.
And now is time for the biweekly wrap-up and words of wisdom from Johan Karabi.
This is the 10th. Make it good, Johan.
This is the 10th. Well, good things come in 10. But in this 10th episode, guys, I think we should realize that home is really here at this podcast.
Home is in this.
And sure, Beth has
crabs. And it's shifting and jarring.
I have... bed bugs and
Scott has a humanoid robot.
Scott is a robot.
That's Scott fine. Is a humanoid.
We're home. We're here. Mm-hmm. I think we have many more episodes to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fisting a mockingbird right now.
To fist a mockingbird.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
But remember, guys, that you know you are at home. Unless you're homeless.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Number 10.
Number 10.
Number 10. Number 10. Number 10.
Be safe, everybody.
Be safe.
Make healthy choices.
Mm-hmm. Don't get crabs.
Love yourself.
Love your fellow humans and your fellow humanoids and gynoids.
Gynoids.
Mm-hmm. And
homeless people. Love them.
Exactly. They need love. More.
And then
more
secretly
than the
call the police and get them taken off the street and... Out of vision.
Ignore everything he just said, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I am Beth Hicks.
I'm Scott Austin.
I'm Johan Karabi.
This is Jarring Segue.
Episode 10.
Episode 10.
Episode 10. Talk to you later, people.